graduation gown, all right? And so you're a little distracted. And of course, back several weeks ago, they didn't have anything in their hand. They couldn't carry anything in, basically, but their program. So they couldn't have anything to write notes down. Obviously, Mom can write notes for you today if needs be. All right, so that's good. But then I have this other whole terrible dilemma. I know what time it is, and I know what time the crock pots are supposed to be done in the back. So I've got all the ladies out here worried. Oh, no, pastor's going to preach one of his messages, and it's going to be all burnt, and I'll have every lady in the church mad at me if I don't preach short. So I'm going to do my best, all right? I know that our attention can be distracted, but I trust that today we can spend just a couple of moments, and this is in particular for Zach. So forgive me, congregation, if I'm going to look at him a lot today. It's for all of us, and I understand it's God's word. It's for all of us, but I trust that these truths will be very helpful for him. If you would join me, please, in James chapter 1 this morning. James chapter 1. James is a potent and powerful book. James has been considered the Proverbs of the New Testament. Though I would probably disagree with this to a point. Their point is that it shares a lot of practical wisdom for life, and that's absolutely true. But it is not structured like the book of Proverbs. Proverbs, in those first 10 chapters of the book of Proverbs, has some flow of thought on purpose. You step into chapter 11 in Proverbs and following, and you have plenty of Proverbs, all right? One-verse snippets, sometimes a couple verses. Some of them are arranged in themes, most are not. James, on the other hand, is written very much connected. Though at first pass, we often don't see the connections. Some of it is for cultural reasons. James was a Jew in the heart. It's the way he thought. He was Eastern in his thinking, instead of Western like we are. And so sometimes we miss his innuendos and miss his comebacks, if I can put it that way, in his thinking. But if we take the time, and I'm going to boil down a lot of this work just for a few minutes. If we take the time, we'll see some amazing connections, and I trust it'll be a blessing to your life, Zach, and give you some purpose for the rest of your life. As we start in chapter 1, James presents really the challenge of coming to the Lord for wisdom in handling of trials and temptations. And that really goes all the way through verse number 12. Your life without the Word of God will be unstable. With the Word of God, you can have great wisdom for the rest of your life. And that's really the idea and core as we're dealing with verses 1 through 12. As we come to verse 13 then, James addresses what would be the normal challenge of our hearts. You say, yes, I want to obey God's word. I want his wisdom. I pray for it. He gives to God, his children liberally. He doesn't upbraid them for coming to him to ask wisdom for help for all the decisions in life. And yet the reality is I know what my life is like. I face temptation. And the temptation to do wrong and to turn away from truth is real. It's real for every one of us. Never neglect that. Never forget that. Zach, don't ever think that you'll come up to a point in your spiritual life where you've pretty well conquered sin and you don't have to struggle with it anymore. You must always be tender to the reality that temptation is always at hand. It'll come in different forms and different fashions through different avenues, but it's always going to be there. And you must, with the help of the Word of God, conquer it. And so we see here in verses 13, really all the way down through verse 18, a wonderful challenge, and this is not my message yet. This is the introduction to the challenge that we're coming to. A wonderful challenge to remember God's judgment. Sin ultimately ends in death. And that death is talking about every possible wrong conclusion to your life. Judgment from God. It is the God-given plan, if I can put it that way, that sin brings forth death. He wants us to abhor it. He wants us to see beyond the present pleasure, I'll get it out, all right? The present pleasure of the sin and say, wait a second, what's the end? And it always ends in judgment. Now, don't forget that. And yet, that judgment is God giving us a reminder that he is still good. So avoid sin, don't end in death. But as we come down to verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. What is good in life? And God defines good as all that is about him, connected to him. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, not darkness. Sin is darkness. God is light. He wants to manifest to your life, Zach, the truth of His Word. And by the way, His Word, like Him, as it says at the end of verse 17, has no variableness. It doesn't change. There's no shadow of turning. Shadows are what is descriptive of death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. You see, God will provide light to your path. Psalm 119. It's a light to my path, to guide me and give me direction, so that I will not stumble and fall. God is that good to you, Zach. He's given you His Word. Now apply it. Live it out. Study it. Know it. Of His own will, verse 18, begat He us. Notice, and as He's drawing our attention here, if I can put it this way, in James' own unique way, He's getting us to the high point, coming to the Word of God. So we started our life, He begat us with the Word of truth. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In your own personal testimony, Zach, as you came to Christ, it was the truth of God's Word that helped you understand that you were a sinner, that you needed to be saved, that you come to Christ, and you knew about Christ from the Bible. Yes, Mom and Dad had taught you that, but where did they learn it? From God's Word. At the end of the day, what you hold in your hand as God's Word is the truth. And that was what born you, all right, in the new life. Of His own will begat He us with the Word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. A unique, special role as God's children. In other passages, it's called elect. You've been chosen by God. He loves you immensely, died for you, and you've accepted that wonderful, wonderful salvation that He's offered to you. And He's chosen for you to enjoy the first fruits even of heaven to this day. So right now, the blessings that God gives you is really a first fruit in your life. So now He goes on, and here's why I'm finally getting to my message, all right? Wherefore, in light of the fact that I've been born by truth, that the Father of lights has given me this truth, wherefore, my beloved brethren, verse 19, let every man, so this is not just for Zach, but for all of us that know the Lord as our Savior in particular, though the reality of the application could go to the unsaved as well, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, those are some great words, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. James did not, in verse 19, all of a sudden forget about what he was talking about the Word of God in verse 18. No, he is only heightening it. And so really, in many ways, to give you the full sense of verse 19, we could add this. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear the Word of God, slow to speak against the Word of God, slow to be angry of the conviction of the Word of God. For our workings, our wrath, our own self-reformation does never, never work the righteousness of God. You can't be a Christian by trying hard enough, Zach. You need the Word of God. And you need to respond to the Word of God as verse 19 tells you. So lay apart, and we'll see this in a moment, all that filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. So our points are easy and simple today. Three-word points, all right? If you're going to walk with the Lord and have a successful life, number one, as verse 19 says, be quick to hear. Pay attention to God's Word. Don't be ignorant of it and don't ignore it. Be quick to hear. I think your mom and dad probably did a little bit of this in your growing up years, I suspect. But I know that each of my kids would give testimony of the fact that there were times there was punishment meted out to them because though they finally finished the job, they were not quick to hear the commandment of Dad. And that's a problem. You see, when God gives us His Word, it's meant for us to now live it, not sometime later. I'll get around to it. No, no. Get to it now. Be quick to hear it. Give it full attention. Every day, Zach, in your life, be quick to hear God's Word. That means quick in time. So it should be early on in the day. Don't start the day without God's word. Your day can get messed up real fast. And you can start making wrong decisions because you haven't been getting your thinking filtering through the word of God. So be quick to hear it. And then seize every opportunity. The other idea of quick to hear is you should be anxious, excited about every opportunity you have to get into God's word. You have some downtime in your life, relax time. It's like, it's my time. I would encourage you to consider that all of your life belongs to the Lord, and that even in your downtime, there should be a passion and heart to get into God's word. Oh, it may not be at that moment to study it. I have found in my own personal life, and I know that there's a testimony of many here, that there's some joy in just listening to God's word. We have the, you know all the technology, Zach. You know it better than most of us here. Well, take advantage of that and use it for your good. You're on your way to Farm and Fleet. I know the trip isn't long. Maybe you're memorizing a verse of scripture. Well, make a recording of it and listen to it on the way. Or have some great speaker that has a great voice speak it to you. Use all those opportunities. Be anxious to take every opportunity to learn God's word. Now, a part of quick to hear is also that you're quick to obey it. I'm not just going to hear it and then ignore it, obviously. That's verses 22 and 23. Don't be just a hearer of the word. Be a doer of it. Live it out in your life. Don't just say, oh, that's cool, and I'm out of here. I'm going to do my own thing. No. So be anxious to take every opportunity to live it out in your life as well. Be quick to hear it. Now he goes on. A second point. So be quick to hear, but be slow to speak against God's word. Be slow to speak. You see, in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, your relationship with the word of God is one to quickly hear it. Pretend that if we could personify the word of God today, he's standing beside you, and he has something to tell you. All right, be quick to hear. Be slow to speak. Too often in our life, our conversations are characterized by selfish interaction. We're listening to the other party in the conversation, not to listen to what they have to say, but simply to plan our next speech to him. As you grow older in your adulthood, you'll find that this can be really true because your brain expands and you're kind of like half listening because you've got a few more things you want to tell that person. Don't listen that way to God's word. Be slow to speak. Be fully engaged, selflessly engaged when God speaks to you from his word as you're reading it. Don't give excuses. Don't make plans. Listen. Just listen. Be slow to speak. So do it selflessly. And then when you have the opportunity, and this is kind of the other side of the coin on slow to speak, when you have opportunity to speak for the word of God, to in a sense become a spokesman for the Lord, like I'm trying to do today, be careful. Don't take it frivolously. Every opportunity you have to speak for the Lord is an opportunity to give truth, not your truth, but God's truth. Guard your words. Don't share your thoughts. Share God's thoughts. Be careful in your presentation. So, be quick to hear. Be slow to speak. Thirdly, be slow to wrath. Don't get angry when God's word does its good work in your heart and brings conviction. I'm afraid that too many of us have the testimony in our own lives of resisting the work of God through his word. We all, without exception, have regretted whenever we resisted God's word, when we've decided to go our own way, to be like the wandering sheep of Isaiah. Though that's a description of those who we often would apply to unbeliever, don't let that be the characteristic of your life. You see, when God's convicting spirit works in our heart by the word of God, so as you're reading it, as it being engaged with it, whether it's reading, listening to it, hearing, preaching God's word, there is a temptation of our sinful flesh to say no when God's spirit brings conviction. And we can get pretty mad about it, in fact. That's why it says slow to wrath. James used often powerful words to describe what we would sometimes look as just insignificant. I just don't want to. No, that's wrath. That's saying no to God. And And don't resist it. Let God's convicting work do its good work in your heart and life. When it points out an area of misstepping or an area of sin, an area where you're not making the best or wisest choice, don't say no to it. Be slow to wrath. Actually, and this really is where we go on to verse 20. This is tied together at the end of verse 19 to verse 20. So to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. The idea is here is to be resolute for righteousness, to say, God, I'm going to listen to your word and your word alone. You see, the wrath of man, the idea of self-punishment, of me striving to do what's right and good, personal reformation, will never accomplish the righteous work of God in your life. That can only be accomplished with the word of God becoming a part of you through the Spirit of God. Don't think that somehow you can make yourself good, not even as a Christian. Let the Word of God change you. Live always, make every decision in line with the Word of God. Submit to God's will. Don't just use your own decisions. Oh, I'm going to, you know, New Year's resolution. Okay, this year I'm going to do such and such. Well, is it in line with God's Word? Are you saying yes to God's Word, or are you just coming up with your own plan? You know what? I'm going to look good in front of all my Christian brethren, so I'll do this. That's a wrong reason, pal. You obey God's word because it's God's word. Let that be the thing that you motivate and drive towards. Finally, today, be quick to hear, be slow to speak, be slow to wrath, be quick to own. Be quick to own, O-W-N, own, to own it. There's a few things in life as a high schooler just graduating that you own. As life goes on, you will, by the nature of life itself, begin to own a lot of things. This is not a part of the message, but let me encourage you, and I know, in fact, you've already, because we've talked about this, and your dad and I have talked about this, about you. Isn't this great? you already are laying aside. You're saving. You're not getting in debt. All right? This is an aside from that. But there's one thing you better own better than anything else. Be quick to own God's word. If I can put it this way, let me read the passage again. Wherefore, verse 21, lay apart all filthiness, that's moral defilement, and superfluity, we don't use that word anymore, it means abundance. Abundance of naughtiness, yes. Everything that's morally evil, that's tainted by evil, that has an evil intent, talking even about your motives. All right? So lay aside everything that's against God's word, against truth, all right? That's wicked and sinful. And receive with meekness the engrafted word. The word receive here is to embrace and make your own. And that engrafted word, the word, it's a descriptive word, engrafted. To graft a branch into a tree, does that start painting the picture for you? So you can take a living branch and you can tie it into a living stump and that branch will eventually adhere. I'm not good at that, but there are some people that have done that, I think, even around here, all right? And that branch will grow, all right? The idea is, the picture that James wants to understand is there have been a lot of people in your life that have tried to engraft the word into you. Mom and dad, grandma, grandpa and grandma, all right? Plenty of us here. I think of Pastor Allen in all the years as his youth pastor. Pastor Caleb in these few months. Since I've been here, we've tried to engraft in all God's people, engraft God's word into your life. Now, the idea is to receive it. Take it as your own. It's not just ours. It's not just mom and dad's. But you own it. We are characterized in our life by, in fact, we think of ourselves in certain ways. I think of myself as a farmer. Why? Because I used to farm. And I still, and you know, from all my silly illustrations around here, I still think of myself that way. I hope I'm a halfway decent preacher. I keep working on it, all right? But I think of myself as a redhead. God stuck me with that, all right? But that's a part of who I am. Maybe that explains some of my flamboyant personality, all right? God, give me flaming red hair, and my personality is that way. Okay. We have things that we know about ourselves, and we enjoy God's gifts to us. Sometimes Soldiers put on uniforms. They like it, all right? Policemen put on uniforms. Medical staff have their own uniforms, and it's them. They own it. It's them. If I can put it this way, if you don't own anything in your life, who am I? I'm just Zach. And if you own God's word, you'll be in a rich place for eternity. If there's no other characteristic that we'll ever know about you, Zach, but that you love God's word, you've done well at life. May God's word be who you are. 10 years from now, who knows what will happen these next 10 years? A lot of things can change. You'll be older for sure, but I hope we will, as a church family, see in your life the word of God owning you and you owning it. When I think of Zach 10 years from now, I hope my thought will be, he loves God's word. He's living it out in his life. You can see it in everything he does throughout the week. He's a good, maybe at that point, good husband, maybe a dad. I know mom and dad would like that. Anyways, okay. So that was supposed to be funny. Never mind. Okay, never mind. Whatever your life, may it be that you're owned by and that you own God's word. So today, with God's word, be quick to hear it. Slow to speak against it. Slow to wrath when conviction comes. And be quick to own it. Be quick to own it. Let's pray. Lord, the Father of lights, you've given us the most precious gift, and that is the word of God. It's by the word of God that we know truth, that we know our sinfulness, that we know our Savior, that we know our future. Lord, I pray particularly for Zach today, but for all of us. Help us to own God's word. May we interact with it. May we be quick to hear. May we listen well. May we be slow to speak and slow to wrath. May we grow in Christ, not resisting its convicting work by your Spirit. May each of us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ be known for owning the Word of God. Oh, we may fail at a lot of things. May none of us today as your children fail at living out and loving the Word of God. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Believer, if I had to ask your mate, your children, your co-workers, your fellow church member, if I had to ask Christ about you, would he say that you own God's word? That it consumes your life? It has impact on everything you do? Maybe today you'd say, Pastor, my heart's been challenged and convicted. And with his help, I can't do it on my own. The wrath of man doesn't bring the righteousness of God. With his help, I want to be known as a person of the Word of God that just loves it, lives it out every day of my life. Would you pray that God would help that to be a characteristic of my life? Anyone, could I pray for you? Quietly raise your hand and say, that's my need today, Pastor. Yes, amen, amen, amen. Are you here today without the Lord Jesus Christ? But I pray for you today. My prayer won't save you, but I would rejoice to have someone share the gospel with you in a few minutes. Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures, was buried and rose again the third day for you. Put your faith in him today. Turn from your sin. Trust Christ. Is that your need today? Could I pray for you? Maybe you quietly raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's my need today. I need to be saved. Anyone at all? Lord, we rejoice today in your word. May we possess it. May we own it. I pray that you would help. If there's anyone here today without the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would draw them to thyself even today. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.